just in the last month or so, who got out of her, you know, got off her walker and went from being unable to walk to like she was running around. So praise God for that. But in the same meeting, there was a woman that came up to me afterwards and she said, "I'm so sorry I couldn't like publicly share this." And guys, when someone says that, you never know what is going to happen, okay? So I was like, okay, great. And she said, "I've had rectal bleeding for the last 5 years. And I went to the bathroom like there's nothing there." And I was like, cool. And I kept debating on like trying to really press and say like, "Do you mind sharing that?" But, you know, I didn't want to do that. And then just even here, in the last couple of months, you know, we had a woman in our meeting who was deaf, right? And God opened her ear so she could hear now. So that's like exciting. But let's go to 2 Kings 13. And 2 Kings 13, and we're going to really just go to 20. Can you like turn on the lights, somebody? Because my glasses are off and trying to see any. Thank you. The Lord has come. Okay. So at this point, Elisha has died. So 2 Kings 13, 20. So Elisha died. They buried him. Now Moabite raiders would enter the land in the spring, and as they were burying a man, they saw raiders. So they threw the man in the tomb of Elisha. When the man touched the bones of Elisha, they came to life, and he stood on his feet. Guys, just think, this is like Old Testament, right? So if you have been dead long enough that your body has decayed and you're nothing but bones, I don't know the timeline of that, but it takes a while, right? Just think if Elisha had so much anointing and so much power that years after he's gone, his bones are raising people from the dead. Just think of how much more God wants to use with us right now today. Right? Because we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's exciting. And so I was really excited with all the testimonies, you know, just in the last couple of weeks. But now I'm like, okay, God, I want to see, like, not just miracles. I want to see crazy miracles. Right? A couple of years ago, I was in a service, and I prayed for some guy. And a lot of times when you're, like, going down a prayer line, you don't necessarily know what you're going to be praying. Like, you just lay hands on people, and you just pray, and you just keep going. But anyway, this guy, his diaphragm apparently got recreated. He'd had 30 surgeries in, like, 2 months. I don't understand. I don't even necessarily know all that your diaphragm does. So it wasn't like some, you know, special prayer of like, God, do that. I don't know. I just prayed that God would touch him. Anyway, I'm sharing that to say that God's not looking for us to have it all figured out. He's looking for us to just sign up and say, yeah, pick me, use me. Let me do it. And he'll do it, right? Like when I was in Oklahoma City, I never said, God, heal this lady's rectal bleeding. Wouldn't even, like, outside of the utterance of the Holy Spirit, wouldn't even cross my mind to think to pray for that, right? And I didn't lay hands on her, but it was just in the atmosphere, right? And, like, there was a lady, well, I'm just going to go ahead and share her testimony. She can share it again when she gets here, but she was saying that yesterday, last night, we were praying, and I just said, you know, that I felt like there was someone whose child had walked away, and that even this week, God was going to bring that person back. And she said she got home, and her older son said, Mom, I don't remember the younger son's name, Mom, you won't believe it. Younger son came home, he repented, and he gave all of his drugs and said, I'm done. Amen? So we're talking like hours, right? That's God, right? Amen? That's totally God. So let's go to Acts 5. And we're just going to talk a lot about, like, the miracles in the Bible today, mainly because, you know, sometimes it's easy to think, like, these people have it all figured out, right? They're in the Bible, like, they have to have a lot figured out. Do you guys know how crazy some of these people were? Okay? So if God can use them, and he can use me, he can use all of us, right? But we just have to believe it. Right? We talked a little bit last night about expectation. Do you really expect something to happen when you pray? I had a sweet friend. I grew up in a denominational church in the area. And the pastor's wife of the church I grew up in recently passed away from cancer. Anyway, and so my parents are also spirit-filled. And my parents kept reaching out saying, you know, and understand these are good friends of our family, so it's not like totally out there. But they kept reaching out once they found out she had cancer and said, hey, do you guys want us to pray? And they're like, yeah, we can pray. But we're just praying for like peace, that she wouldn't be in pain. Like, we're not really praying, believing that God's actually going to heal her. And so my parents were like, well, we want to come pray, but we're not going to pray like that. Right? And so anyway, so she recently passed away, but it was the craziest thing because, right? I mean, we're talking like the last 2 weeks of her life or so. Her husband called, right? Denominational church, mega church in the area, saying, hey, like, maybe there's something to this whole prayer thing. Like, maybe God really could heal her, right? So anyway, just through a series of events, there was never an opportunity to pray together. But anyway, isn't it so crazy to think that there's an entire world around us that has no idea what the power of God is? Right? And sadly, some of that is even the church. Right? But guess who gets to be the answer? Guess who gets to change it? Everyone say, pick me, because that's you. Right? And God's not looking for people that have it all figured out at all. He's not looking for people that have a medical degree to know, like, pray for this kind of diaphragm, whatever. Right? That's not how it works. God's just saying, just be willing to be used and let me flow through you. Right? I'm going to be at an event next week. It's called Into the River, which is always fun. And so they've been talking about this river flowing, you know, yay, we're all going to jump in the river and all this kind of stuff. And I was joking and I said, that's so good, but let's start talking about letting the river flow. Right? Because we don't want to just jump into what's external. We want to release what we have internally. Right? Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. And God's trying to get what dwells in you outside of you, so it can touch everything around you, right? Like we briefly mentioned a little bit, you know, as a church, as the body of Christ, churches should transform everything around them, right? So if you have a church where people's lives are changed and transformed, first off, that has to be number one. You've got to have an establishment where people's lives are changed. Legitimate change, legitimate transformation, right? That's number one. Number two, it should then begin changing everything in the community it's in. So the education should begin to change. The government in that area should begin to change. The economy should, every single thing in that area should begin to change. Because as soon as people's lives are changed, as they're leaving the church, everywhere that they're going should begin to experience the same transformation. Because everyone should be releasing what they've experienced. Right? And so the church is not just a place where we get the goosebumps and we get so excited and we have so much fun. It should be a place of continual transformation. Right? Like I always say, God, I don't want to go into your presence and not leave the same. Right? It's amazing when you're in services how you can look around and you can see people that are really engaged in encountering God, and then you can see people that just have no clue. Right? I'm just being honest. And I've been that person before. We've all been that person before. But God wants us to know him and encounter him personally so that way change happens, right? So anyway, let's get back to Acts 5. And we're going to go to verse 12. Many signs and wonders were performed among the people by the hands of the apostles. They were all together in Solomon's porch. No one dared join them, but the people respected them. Believers were increasingly added to the Lord, crowds of both men and women, so that they even brought the sick out into the streets, placed them on beds and mats. that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might touch some of them. Guess what, guys? God wants us to be so full of him that just being in the same, you know, room, atmosphere, healing happens, change happens, transformation happens, right? Like, I have yet to know of my shadow healing anyone. Maybe it has and I just didn't know it, right? Wouldn't that be cool? Like, hey, I got healed by your shadow and didn't even know. But guys, like, God wants us to live at such a higher place than where we are. And so we talked a lot yesterday about believing it. Starts with having faith and really believing that that's what God has for us. And we have to believe that he's good, right? And that he really loves us. And that he really wants to use us in spite of ourselves, right? You know, Paul says, I'm chief sinner among them, which means he realized his life was not figured out, okay? And I would just encourage you, if you go to a place and the person behind the pulpit says their life has got all figured out, run for your life. Just run out the door, okay? Anyway, that's free. Okay, so I'm telling you from experience. All right, so Mark 5. Mark 5. It's the story of the healing of the Gadarene man. So I'm not going to totally go over all of it, but let's see here. Okay, starting in verse 3, this is the Gadarene man, lived among the tombs. No one could constrain him, not even with chains, because he has often been bound with shackles and chains, but he had pulled the chains apart and broken the shackles to pieces. No one could subdue him. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. And then Jesus comes and heals him. And then when you get down to verse 15, and then the townspeople come out, and they came to Jesus and saw him who had been possessed with a legion of demons, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And so what this is showing is just that not only does God bring transformation to his life, but what he leaves behind is life and freedom, right? So, like, this is always a way I tell people to, like, test, because we get a lot of questions of, like, do you believe in so-and-so or such-and-such? And I always just say, what's the fruit? What's left behind? Like the traveling evangelist that comes into town and leaves, what's left behind when they're gone? Is it fruit that you would want? And then you know if it's God or not, right? Because a tree can only bear fruit from the seed that it's produced by, right? So like if someone comes to town and they leave and then the church falls apart and there's lots of destruction, probably not God, right? But it should be the same personally, right? Like we should be able to go into our workplace, wherever that is, and we should begin to see the fruit of God manifest, right? Right? Like we want to be people, like just like Jacob and Laban. Like Jacob was trying to leave Laban in Genesis 30, and Laban said, like, I know because I know that I'm blessed because you are here. We want people to look at our lives and look at us and say, no, I know that I'm blessed because I'm in relationship with you. I know that I'm blessed because I have you, right? I know you. So anyway, so what should be left behind should be life. It should be freedom for people, right? Because if a demon gets cast out, scripture says it returns with seven of its friends. And so what should be left, though, when it comes back, is not just an empty void. What should be left is life and freedom that's found only in Christ. Right? Amen. So let's just go to Genesis 30, since I've been bringing that up. So this is the story of Jacob and Laban. Laban is Jacob's father-in-law. Kind of a sneaky, corrupt fellow. And anyway, Jacob is trying to leave and saying, give me all my stuff. I've been working, slaving away for you, you know, all these years. Let me go. And so let's just start in 31 and we'll just kind of bounce around. So Laban says to Jacob, what may I give you? And Jacob says, you may not give me anything, but if you will do this one thing for me, I will continue to feed and keep your flock. I will pass through all your flock today, removing from it all the speckled and spotted sheep, every brown sheep among them. Let's see. Okay, so and then he says, these will be my wages. So my integrity will answer for me in the time to come. When you come to examine my wages, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats, brown among the sheep, that are with me will be considered stolen. So then Jacob agrees to that, right? So, understand? So Jacob's saying, give me all the stuff that is unwanted. I'll take that. That'll be my wage. Okay? Laban agrees. Great. Good news. They're on the same page, right? So anyway, so then Jacob goes through, pulls everything. So then let's skip over. We're going to skip a couple of verses because it's kind of long. Then let's go to verse 37. So Jacob takes rods of different kind of trees and peels white streaks on them, exposing the white which is on the rods. So just imagine a tree branch, taking a little knife, cutting off pieces of bark so it looks spotted and streaked, okay? Then in verse 38, he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places where the flocks came to drink, so that they would mate when they came to drink. The flocks mated before the rods gave birth to the young that were striped, speckled, and spotted. Jacob separated the lambs and the flocks, and then he goes on. Okay, so here's the deal. What Jacob understood was the principle that what you see is what you produce. Okay, so you've got two, you know, let's just pretend two little goats come to the watering trough. They're going to mate. Jacob puts a branch in front of them that's got spots on it because he knows that what they're focused on, what they're fixed on, is what they're going to produce. Okay? He's not saying he took the spotted and speckled goats and those are the ones. No, no, no. When you read actually the entire story, it just says he took the strongest of all of it. Okay? But so what you're fixed on, what you're focused on, what you give attention to is what gets produced in your life, right? Or some people would say what gets reproduced in your life. And so if you're wanting to seek God more in healing and the anointing and the Holy Spirit, that's what you have to focus on. So like a good example would be if you want to have godly dreams at night, don't focus on horror movies before bed, right? That would defeat the purpose because that means the dreams that you're going to have are going to be produced by what you're focused on, right? Sorry, it's really getting hot. Can you like, I don't think it's just me, but I'm like, man, it's like a heat wave in this place. Oh, maybe it's the lights, I don't know. Only change the air. It's a really like fancy system. It's great. Thank you. Anyway, but so what you see is what you produce, right? Just like what you associate is what you produce, right? So like if all of your friends are in the New Age and disbelieve in Christ, guess what? You're probably going to start going to the left or to the right because that's what you're feeding from. And like, it's just like people that just focus on healing all day long. Guess what generally is produced in their lives? Healing. People that focus on the Holy Spirit, more of the Holy Spirit in their life, right? So we're going to do kind of a fun little activity. If you guys don't mind, I need some help with some instrumental music, Mike. Mike.
Mike, the Lord needs some music.
Is that my special? He's working on the instrumental music. He does a great job. I get back there and I get so distracted. It's like five slides later and I'm like, oops, forgot to hit the button. Yay, go Mike, yay. There you go, yay. Someone will figure out the technology.
I turned down his volume.
And they'll probably be under 10, right? Just kidding. Oh, perfect. You can you turn that down just a smidgen? All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a little activity. And we're going to just spend some time waiting on God together and really focusing on the Holy Spirit, okay? And so this might be a stretch for some people. It might be new for some people. That's okay. It's gum. Do you need some gum? Jennifer's passing out gum. If anyone needs some gum, fresh breath gum. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're all going to close our eyes together. It just totally kicked on like crazy up here. All right, we're going to close our eyes. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to this time. Lord, we just thank you for just coming and just quieting every mind here. Quieting all of our thoughts and all of our emotions, Lord. God, that you would just help us to fix our eyes on you. That we would fix our attention on you right now, Lord. All the distractions, all the cares would just wash away, and we would just fix our eyes on you. Lord, I thank you for beginning to show us a picture of how you see us, Lord. God, that we would begin to see ourselves the way that you see us. Joy that you have over us. We would begin to feel your peace in deeper ways, Lord. See ourselves the way that you see us. that we would feel your joy and your love for us. God, that we would enter into your rest. That we would begin to see you bubbling up out of us. That we would begin to see you using us. God, that we would begin to see our own hands on a wheelchair and the person getting out of it. That we would see our own hands on someone's ears and then popping open. That we would really experience the love that you have for us, the full acceptance, that you have for us.
would just know more of your peace and rest. As we're here doing this, what we're doing is called just spending time with God. Okay? That's really all this is. Lots of people try to give it lots of fancy names, but that's really it. But as we've been sitting here, I just keep feeling like God wants to give some people blueprints. That there are people that have decisions to make and things to figure out, and I just feel like God wants to just give you a blueprint. Right? And a blueprint shows how something should be built. Right? But it starts with laying the right foundation. And the right foundation is Christ. Right? And then just letting Him build on top of that the life that He's called you to. So I'm going to let John share a little bit, but you know, really this is just spending time with God. That's all this is. And so we can't do that for you, right? Like we can't call you every day and say, hey, did you spend time with God today? Well, we could, but then that's all I would do all day. So can't really do that for you. So what we're going to do is we want to give everybody a CD. John's going to help with that. Because he knows where they are.
Yes, I do.
And anyway, it's just an instrumental CD, but it just helps create an atmosphere that you can use to spend time with God on your own. And some people get this idea that like, oh, it has to be for hours and it has to look this way. We just tell people, you know, if this is new to you, or it's been a long time since you've spent time with God, just start with 10 minutes and say, okay, I'm going to spend 2 or 3 minutes praying. I'm going to spend 2 or 3 minutes in the Word, right? Because it's important that everything's scripturally founded. You know, if you don't know what to read, like Proverbs almost has a proverb for every day of the month, right? So just today is the 29th, so Proverbs 29, and then tomorrow the 30th, and you just kind of go on. It's pretty easy. You can usually get them done in 2 or 3 minutes. And then spend 2 or 3 minutes quiet listening, right? Because a relationship goes two ways. So you have to be willing to listen. But if you will give God 10 minutes a day, He's so excited to spend time with us that He will breathe all over it. And He will grow it, and He will nourish it, and He will do amazing things in the time, right? So anyway, and hopefully the CD will help in terms of creating that atmosphere.
Actually, it will help a little bit. It's not my most soaking CD, but it's adventurous. You'll like it. It's funny because I have a ton of CDs. I've done like 35 plus, like a lot of soaking instrumentals. And this particular one was with a live drummer. So if there's a little oomph to it, just, you know, while you're soaking in the presence of God, just realize you might be going to a different realm. No, it's a great soaking CD. It really is. It's more adventurous. But But really, what we've been doing here for the last 20 or so minutes is just soaking in the presence of God. We're just receiving from Him. And I think in religious circles, we're so used to giving. You know, we got to learn how to receive in His presence, you know, where it's just not, we're just giving, 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 giving. You know, God wants to give to us, you know. Do you remember the passage of Scripture where Jesus is washing the disciples' feet before He goes to the cross, and Peter said, "You're not going to wash my feet, Lord. No way, you can't wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you can't be my disciple." And this is really Jesus washing our feet. When we're soaking in the presence of God, when we're laying before Him, we're allowing Him to minister to us. How many of you like that? I like it. But, you know, we just need to let the Lord minister to us and just be in a place of receptivity. Even in your worship, you know, when we give in worship, expect to receive in worship too, because He inhabits the praise of His people. And it's really important for us. You know, in Deuteronomy 33:3 says, "Yes, He loved the people. All His saints are in your hand, and they sat down at your feet. Every one of them shall receive of your words." And so we want to be in a place of just receiving the words that God has for us. And, you know, to hear God, we've got to silence the noise of our own soul. As we have so much noise going on, you have the relatives, you have your family, you have everything at work, you've got, if you watch TV, you've got that. Anything that has a voice, I mean, images have voices, right? And you see something, it speaks to you, doesn't it? That's why they put so many of them up. Marketers know what they're doing. They're trying to get your mind, they're trying to get your attention, they're trying to say something to you, buy me, do this, do that, all this kind of stuff. And all that stuff can distract you from the one voice that matters, you know? And so that's why we have to make time for the Lord. We have to make time in His presence. You know, we just got to set aside that time and say, this is time for God. You know, it doesn't have to be in a certain place. It can be anywhere where you just slow down, you draw back, you know, because your soul is very busy on its own. It'll create things to do, and you just be this little busybody, right? You know how to, anybody had the busybody anointing before? Where you just busy, 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 busy. It'd be like Martha, who was just busy in the kitchen, thinking she's doing a great thing for the Lord, but the Lord really would have had her sit at His feet. See, you know, so this is the one thing that won't be taken away. And so in this place, you know, we've got to learn to silence the noise of the soul. And how many, you know, it can be difficult at times when you got so much going on. It can be a challenge. But if we use the Word of God to quiet our soul, you know, it's powerful. Because in Hebrews it says in Hebrews chapter, I think it's 7. Right? It's 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." And that dividing asunder of soul and spirit helps you to distinguish that which is coming from your own soul and that which is from God. Yeah, so we can use the word of God as a weapon, as a tool to bring us into His presence. You just think of that one passage, and that's the thing. It's not about the quantity of Scripture that you're consuming. It's just that quality Scripture. It's that quality time. It could be as simple as taste and see that the Lord is good. And you meditate on that, and you chew on that. So, taste and see. And then you get the revelation, and once it becomes a revelation, it becomes an imprint on your mind. Right? Because I can tell you about my revelation, but it won't be your revelation until you really digest it. Right? You got to make it your own. And revelation, the spirit of revelation, like Paul said, I pray that you would have the spirit of wisdom and of revelation, that you would know Christ in that way. And God wants us to have that spirit of revelation, because it's in the revelation of Jesus Christ that it becomes an experience. It becomes an encounter. It becomes something that's more significant to us than just information. There's lots of information out there, but who has an understanding that comes from the spirit of revelation when it's revealed to you from God, right? Yeah. You remember when Peter got the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus praised him for that. Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And that's really what God wants for us, right? Is that we got in tune with him and we got this by revelation. So God wants us to have that revelation. And I think one thing that's a really big help is a scripture in 1 Peter 5:7. This is a good one. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. As Jesus said, it's the cares of this world that choke out the word of God. And if we can learn to have a habit of casting our cares upon him, casting all the worries and all the fears and all these different concerns that we have, we just learn to cast those things before his throne, then we can receive his peace. And in that place of peace, he begins to speak to us. That peaceful place. It's not in all the chaos. It's not in all the confusion. It's not, you can't hear God until you silence that noise and come into that place of peace. Because his peace passes all understanding. And in that place of peace, we're led. As in Isaiah, it says, you're led forth with what? Peace. Says you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, right? And then in that place of peace, it says that the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap. Will clap their hands, you know. And you know the song, right? And all the trees of the field will clap their hands, papa, right? Yeah, somebody has it, see? I'm not the only one. I know you guys are looking at me strange out there, but. But in Psalms 131, 2, this is a wonderful verse that speaks. It says, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. So your soul has to be weaned from all that noise, has to be weaned from all those bad habits, has to be weaned like you wean a child from the milk. Yeah, you move on into a different place. It says, I have quieted myself. You learn how to quiet yourself. Did you know that's one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control? You learn to quiet that noise in the presence of God. And in worship, and in that place of receiving, you come into that place and just receive in his presence. So I want us to do a little different exercise right now. I want us all lift up our hands. Just lift up your hands if you can. And stretch if you need to. That's fine. People stretching. Think of this as a stretching exercise. Well, stretching, it's not bad either. Okay. But in a place of receptivity, instead of like praise, it's more like your hands are out to receive. It's like, Lord, I receive your love. Lord, I receive your peace. And repeat after me. Lord, I receive your love. I receive your peace. I receive your grace. And I thank you for filling me fresh with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Come inhabit me. Dwell in me. Abide in me. Help me to drink of you on a daily basis. To live in your presence. To live in your love. Overflowing with your grace and your peace. In Jesus' name. And it's in that place, you know, when we can come and do that on a regular basis, and you come and you're just receiving from the Lord. It's not about everything you do. right? And lots of times your own soul will think, well, you just need to do something more. But one thing you do need to do is receive from the Lord. Let him minister to you. You're a worthy candidate for his ministry. That's right. And it's not only ministry to you, but that's truly ministry to the Lord. Because he loves that more than anything else, that you would want to be with him. That's the greatest ministry that you have, is just to be with the Lord. Why don't you come on up, sweetie? She gets all kinds of ideas. Sometimes I wonder if she needs to silence the noise of her soul. But come on up, sweetie. Weren't you receiving in ministry time, sweetie? Did you receive?
Guys, we just have to give each other a hard time. Because that's just how it works. Are you done? See how that works? I'm just giving him a hard time. I know he's done. All right, anyway, really quick. There's like a little card somewhere that looks like this. Anyway, we just wanted to let people know we are putting together a church launch team here in Cincinnati. And really, we're just focused on intimacy with God, community, living in community with each other, and then sharing it outside the walls of the church, right? Changing the community that we're in. And so, so we're working on getting together a church launch team. We're looking at launching in August officially, but anyway, we're meeting right now at Hilton Garden Inn, which is down the road in Blue Ash, on Sunday mornings at 10, and then we meet on Wednesday nights and eat together. But anyway, if anyone needs a church home or would feel called to be part of a church launch, this is somewhere in something you may have, right, in those folders, and there might be some at the table. If you want any more info, you can go there. So, are you ready for your benediction, sweetie? All right, let's all stand.
Okay, let's all stand. Father, we just thank you so much for this time. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you would just bless your people, Lord Jesus. Bless them to overflowing today as we go. And we just thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, we're going to go again at 7. And I'm excited because more people are going to share testimonies. So, anyway.